Hello and welcome to The Big Interview, brought to you by V2 Sport. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and over the course of the season I'll be joined by various footballing guests. So this is episode 3, and this week I was delighted to be joined by John Macken. John Macken's playing career included time at Preston North End, where he got the club promoted as they won the league under a certain David Moyes. He also spent time at Manchester City. Two highlights of his career, really. The 4-3 game against Tottenham in the FA Cup, in which he scored the winner in a great comeback display. I personally remember him scoring a goal against Manchester United in the derby in a game which City won 4-1. As well as that, he finished his career in the non-leagues, but it's the start of his career we also discuss. He came through the ranks at Manchester United in the 90s, following on from the class of 92. So we discuss his time coming through there. He joined the club when he was 9 years old. Following on from his playing career, he's currently managing at Radcliffe FC, formerly known as Radcliffe Borough. We talk about his role as manager there. Quite interestingly, he does point out he feels he's a football manager and not a head coach. So we discuss a bit about the relationship, the differences between the two. I also ask him about his assistant manager, Frank Sinclair, who used to play at Chelsea and won the FA Cup there, played in defence. And also at Radcliffe in the FA Cup, they played Prestwich, which was live on the BBC, and they follow that up. They won that game and they follow that up with another game, which is against Stalybridge. I wish them the best. If you want to check out more from us, you can follow us on Twitter at V2 Sport Network, or check out our website, v2football.com. You can follow John Macken at John P. Macken, and also check out the Radcliffe website, radcliffeborough.com. So here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed recording it. It was a pleasure to talk to John, and it's probably one of my favourite interviews actually since I started recording with V2 Sport. So yeah, here it is, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you for listening. So first of all, you came through the Man United Academy. You were there in like the mid-90s, sort of coming through. I just wondered, you know, sort of how it came about you ended up at United.
Well, it was, actually, it was a bit of a funny story. I was playing for Manchester Boys at the time, and I was 9 years of age, I think, and it was because, you know, we played a lot younger then. We played like under 10, under 11s, and so on and so on. And I think it was 9 years of age, nearly 10, and it was, you know, I got scouted at that moment to go to, it was a school of excellence at the time at Manchester United, but I got scouted at the time. It wasn't the performance on the field, it was actually my comments as I was walking off, apparently, so I'm led to believe. It was, come on lads, we've got to get better, as a team. And the scout at the time thought, you know, Jesus, as a young lad, as a, you know, a 9-10 year old, saying things like that, he's really committed. And then obviously I got the phone call to go down for a trial. It was Littleton Road at the time, Manchester United. It was down there, and I went down to the trial, and I was actually ill in the morning time at school. I think maybe probably a bit of nerves and so on. But I was actually a little bit, I was poorly, so I got sent home from school. But it was a big thing for the school at the time as well, you know, obviously sending me down because he realised how important it was for me. But I was ill, so I got sent home, and then I went for the trial. And I remember it was, they played like 3:30 minutes, and I got on for, I think it was the last 20 minutes of the very last 30 minutes. I think it was a late addition, if you know what I mean. And then and then the rest is history, really. You know, obviously I impressed, and like I say, the rest is history. I signed for United, and I went all the way through to professional forms.
So how old were you when you first started, first joined United as a youth player?
Well, as I say, when I went to the School of Excellence and so on, I was 9-10 years of age. And I went all the way through, I think I left when I was 18 years of age. I got sold to Preston. So I went through everything, you know, I went through every age group. I played for reserves. I didn't make the first team because, you know, at that time it was a decision, well, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to go further in my career? I'm going to go and look for a career. I'm going to sit in the reserves and, you know, look for an opportunity. in, you know, in the first team, which, you know, I was more than confident I would have, could have achieved, I suppose the answer is. But I got an offer. I looked at it, considered it, and you know, I took it up. And you know, I've not really looked back since, because I don't think you can do in football. You know, I think if you make a decision, you've got to stick with it, and you know, you've got to try and make the best of it you possibly can, and you've got to try and work hard and be successful at whatever decision you make. And you know, fortunately, you know, things worked in my favour.
Mm-hmm. I spoke in my last interview I did, I spoke to a guy called Seth Burkett, who didn't quite make it. He's become an author now, but at a club like United, you must have seen a lot of players around you who were released, you know, at 13, 14, 15, however old. There must have been like a lot of players going. It must have been quite a nervous time. I don't know how you felt, you know.
It's strange looking back at it now, because at the time I was never nervous.
Okay.
You know, and it sounds a bit confident, arrogant, however you want to look at it, but it wasn't like that. It was just, I suppose, I was a kid. I didn't really understand the nature of the beast, so to speak. You know, I didn't understand that every year you've got to get you've got to be taken on again, you've got to be looked at, you've got to be assessed, and they've got to see you for the future. I didn't look at it like that. I just looked at it as going and playing football and improving year in, year out. And you know, I think there's a lot more pressure on young kids now. I really do. I think it's I think the way the system is now, I'm not sure it's for the benefit, and it helps a lot of young lads as much as it did when I was, you know, when I was going through the same period. But there was, you're right, there was a lot of lads who was very capable, you know, when they wasn't released, and you know, they was good players, and they was released at certain times because obviously they didn't make the grade, or he wasn't quite good enough in certain people's eyes and certain coaches' eyes, which, you know, unfortunately that's the nature of football.
Mm-hmm. I've got a listener's question as well, who asks, do you think that the class of 92 coming through not long before yourself made any difference? Did it make things more competitive, or was it a benefit? Maybe it was something to aspire to for, you know, your sort of age group.
Well, totally. It made it a lot harder. It made it a lot harder for the lads to break into the reserves and then to break into the first team and the youth team, so to speak. But it was a B and A team then. You know, you had to play in the B team and then get into the A team and then get into the reserves, which, you know, it made it a hell of a lot harder. But it was also, you were inspired to achieve what these lads did. And, you know, like I say, he was a couple of years older than me. I was there around when they was first year pros. I was coming into my first year youth apprentice. And, you know, I suppose you can look at it and it's a challenge, but that's what football's about. You know, I always looked at everything as a challenge. I always looked at every player that was doing better than me as a challenge to go and improve myself and try and be better than them.
Yeah. So after United, you went to Preston, you won the title there, and you scored 63 goals. You must have had a good time there, and also playing under David Moyes.
Yeah, I did. It was a fantastic time. When I first went there, it was difficult. I'll say it was difficult because you don't realise the importance of the difference from youth football going into, you know, real men's nitty and gritty and everything on the line football. Mm-hmm. And it was a challenge at first, you know, because at the end of the day, I was going from, like I said, you know, I was playing in the reserves at the time. I was playing what I was playing with men, which was a massive experience. But walking into a dressing room with full of characters and full of people who was, you know, had been in and around the football scene for a long, long time, hearing how they spoke, how doing things, it was a challenge. It was a challenge for myself to, how do I step up?
Yeah.
Am I good enough to step up? I'm willing to push myself and drive myself to step up. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I looked at it, and I looked at it as a challenge. I looked at it as a big challenge to say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to I'm going to push myself here to be the best that I possibly can and try and improve this team and myself. Unfortunately, I was with a fantastic group of lads. I had a very good manager in David Moyes, good coaches around who guided me and helped me. And, you know, we progressed and we were successful in our own way.
It must have been quite a culture shock. I watch a fair few of United's under 23 team play, but watching that league is so different to watching a football league game. Do you think there's anything I don't know that teams can do? You know, youth sides can do to prepare themselves for proper men's football, as it were.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do believe lads have got to go out on loan.
Yeah.
And I do believe these young lads it's all well and good being playing the youth team football, academy football, under 23 football, but the nitty and gritty of when you get in the changing rooms and, you know, but it was a lot different when I was playing, when I started. But when you get in the nitty gritty and these lads are really, you know, their attitudes to football, their attitudes to winning, their attitudes to, you know, each other, to drive each other forward and to really get every bit of energy out of them to go and get that win on a Saturday or, you know, a Tuesday evening. It becomes infectious in a way, and I think that's what they've got to understand. You know, these, you know, academies and so under 23s, they've got to really understand these lads, and it's good playing nice football on great pitches, but, you know, you've got to really go out there and want to go and win a football match. And, you know, that's what I learned early on.
Yeah.
I've got to be at the top of my game and I've got to be 100% fit week in, week out, because if I'm not, I'm letting people down, I'm letting my teammates down, and ultimately it's a team, and the team comes before anything else. And that's what I learned very quickly at Preston, and it was a case of, well, that's what I believe now, and that's how I try and do a lot of my teams, is, you know, your team comes first before anybody else or anything else.
It must be hard for youth players to think like that, though, when you consider, you know, they're playing for their futures and that, and, you know, will want to impress personally rather than maybe thinking about the team. It must be a harder, you know, thing to drill into young players.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk now about football, about how it's very individual and about how it's, you know, they like to, you know, it's an individual game and certain people impress, but it's always been a team game. It's always been individual in a certain sense of you're working hard for yourself. But like I said, I was brought up with team, and team was always first in my eyes. And if you're not part of that team, I was always taught that, I was taught very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I was taught very quickly at Man United, I was taught very quickly at Preston North End, that if you're not part of the team, then you're not playing. And you've got to come part of the team, and you've got to work hard to be part of that team, and you've got to work hard than the person who's in front of you to be part of that team, and then that team can go and be successful. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing better. I mean, there was nothing better than being in a Preston side and a Preston club that was going and winning things in a group of lads that was together for 3, 4, 5 years together.
Yeah.
And that's a team. And that's what I enforce all the time now.
I understand. With you moving to Manchester City after that, there's probably two things I remember you for anyway. It was scoring a goal against United, and also probably what most people will remember is that winner against Tottenham. The two things you look back on, or any other sort of highlights for you in your time there?
Do you know what? I look back at it all, and I think to myself, you know, I was injured quite a lot. I was disappointed in things that the way it went. But I say to everybody now, when people ask me, you know, what does it take to be a footballer? What does it mean to be a footballer? But to be a footballer is to make a difference.
Yeah.
It's to make a difference to fans. It's to make a difference to people. They remember you because you've made a difference. And you know, it doesn't matter how many games you played, doesn't matter how many goals you score, it doesn't matter. If you make a difference to certain people for the right reasons in football, then you're a footballer. And you'll be remembered as being a footballer for that reason. And, you know, I did that at Man City. I did it for numerous reasons. You know, people have always got the thoughts that I didn't play enough, I was injured too many, but at the end of the day, I made a difference when it counted.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, in my eyes, that's being a footballer, and that's making me, I'm proud of that. You know, we all would have loved to have gone out and played 400, 500 games and scored 100 and odd goals and so on and so on, but unfortunately, it doesn't always work out like that. You know, it's not always a fairy tale to every move that you get and every club that you sign for. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I believe and I hope that City fans and the coaching staff and the players that I played with that remember me, because when I did play, I gave everything that I got and I made a difference.
Yeah. You mentioned injuries. It must be very hard mentally to come back when you get injured. I think of like Luke Shaw in the news at the moment, someone like that having a long-term injury, or, you know, not playing and having several niggly injuries. It must be, yeah, as well as the physical side, it must be really hard mentally to get back into it.
It's devastating. It's devastating because, I mean, it happened to me very early on in my Man City career. And then you're always fighting. You know, you're fighting yourself. You're fighting reoccurring injuries. You're fighting people's opinion. You're fighting new signings.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, I've never want to back away from a challenge. But when, you know, certain times it's stacked against you, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. And all you can do is just reassess yourself. Look at the situation and think to yourself, well, I'll tell you what, I'm either going to keep going or I'm going to give up.
Mm.
And unfortunately, you know, I never give up. I don't mean give up in the sense of giving up football. I mean giving up in the place where you are and, you know, you decide to move on or you decide to go somewhere else. Which, you know, I stuck it out for as long as I possibly could. And, you know, like I say, I wanted to play a hell of a lot more games. I wanted to score a lot more goals. Unfortunately, like I say, it's not always a fairy tale, is it? It doesn't always happen. So you've just got to assess and you've got to move on and you've got to keep going forward. And that's what I tried to do, you know. And like I said, being a footballer, in my opinion, is making a difference. And hopefully I made a difference to people at the majority of clubs or the clubs that I played for.
Mm-hmm. Playing for both Manchester clubs, who were like your boyhood team, or who's just the team you supported as such?
Well, I always used to go and watch City with my dad when I was a young kid.
Okay.
You know, so I used to always go and watch them when I was a young kid, and obviously I was at Man United to listen when I was 9 years of age, so obviously you get tickets for that, so you go and watch them, don't you, when you're like that, so.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. I want to ask, in all your time playing, who do you think was the best player you played with? You know, looking at the names, there must be a lot you could name.
Well, do you know what? A lot of people ask me this all the time. You know, say, who's the best player? Do you know the best player I probably ever played with was probably, you know, when I was at Man City, I had some fantastic players I played with. You know, obviously, Alan Avia, Nicholas Anelka, Peter Schmeichel, and you look at people like that. But Ayo Berkovic was an unbelievable player when I was there. He really, really was. I thought he was underrated, but an outstanding player when he performed, you know.
Mm. Okay.
And, you know, it's a difficult question, isn't it, saying he's the best ever player you played with, but, you know, he was a fantastic player. But once again, he's like, you've got your Peter Schmeichels, your Robbie Fowlers, your Nicholas Anelkas, you know, and they was all very, very talented players.
Yeah, well, I like that you've named a player. I've asked a similar question to other former players I've spoke to, and they don't like giving an answer. They'll give like loads of different names of different players, but yeah.
He was. Listen, I've said it all along. He was an outstanding player, Ayo Berkovic. He wasn't given the credit a lot of times for how good of a player he actually was. You know, he was. I always thought that anyway. Personally, I always thought he was an outstanding player.
Mm-hmm. You carried on playing football until you were around 36 or so. Was it something? Did you want to stay in the game as long as you could? Because you see different players, and some of them think, if I can't play in the Premier League, I don't want. You know, they don't play anymore, and some are happier to drop down the leagues. Like I saw Michael Owen say something about he didn't have the desire to play in the lower leagues. Was it something for you? You wanted to keep playing? You enjoyed playing?
Yeah, well, I don't believe in that. I believe that's a little bit arrogant from people and players, because I believe at the end of the day, footballers are footballers.
Yeah.
And you should be respectful for every level of football, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you go and play on a football pitch, your attitude and your desire should still be the same, no matter whether you're playing on the park with your mates or you're playing in the stadium full of 40,000 fans.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always been my view and my attitude. I've always believed that, and I always will believe that. You know, it's a game of football. You should try your best, and you should do your best, and you should have the same attitude no matter where you are.
Mm.
And you know, that has always been my philosophy, and that's always been my way of thinking and the way I played. So stepping down was an easy option and an easy decision for me, because it doesn't matter who I'm playing with, where I'm playing, I've still got the same, you know, attitude and thought process.
Yeah. I guess you must have enjoyed the sort of, you know, you had that experience and you could have maybe helped the younger players at some of the, you know, at say Stockport or somewhere like that.
Do you know what? I enjoy football.
Yeah.
I enjoyed football. I enjoyed helping people in football, and I enjoyed playing football. And at the end of the day, too many people now say about football, about, you know, all the benefits from it and everything else. At the end of the day, every single professional footballer that's ever been got into it because they love playing football.
Yeah.
Whether it be with the mates, with two jumpers on a street, or whether it be, like I say, in a stadium. And we all get into it to love it. So you should take that attitude and that belief and, you know, that desire to play football anywhere you go.
Yeah. I want to move on and talk about your time at Radcliffe, where you manage. How did it come about you ended up managing there? How did you get the job?
Well, I did my coaching badges, which I never thought I would do. I never thought I'd be a coach. I never seen myself when I was playing as being a coach, but I thought to myself, you know, I'm gonna see what it is, because I'd never seen myself as a coach. I always see myself as a manager, because I think there's two different things. I do think they are two different things, coaches and managers.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people and a lot of clubs and so on get mistaken with it now. You know, it's too many coaches being managers and, you know, managers being coaches and so on. So I always see myself as a manager, and you know, it's not an easy process when you do your badges. It's not an easy process to go and find a job.
Mm.
It's not an easy process to go and see where you want, if you want to go into the academies, the youth system, first team football, what level first team football, you know. But I got the opportunity. Radcliffe approached me. I got the opportunity to go into Redcliffe, and you know, I snatched around off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it was a great opportunity for me to see what the ins and outs of being a manager at a club, which, you know, it wasn't doing very well. Obviously, any manager that walks into it or gets asked to be a manager of another club is obviously an issue. The manager isn't doing so well at that club at the time. That's why they've made the change. And I, like I say, I grasped it, and I just thought to myself, yeah, this is a good opportunity for me to learn my trade, but to also see behind the scenes, you know, because I haven't been in that situation before. And like I say, I'm loving it. I'm really, really enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm. I like that you make the distinction between you saying you're a manager rather than a head coach. It's also interesting that there is a bit of a, I think there's a bit of a grey area with some of it, especially, you know, the Premier League and, you know, the higher up clubs, head coaches or managers, like Mourinho saying he's a head coach, not a manager, or that's how he feels. But
yeah,
you know what I mean, with the sort of shades of grey with it.
Do you know what? I believe there's a lot of it. I believe, honestly, I believe there's a lot of excuses in football nowadays.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, well, I'm a coach, I'm not a manager, and, well, I believe that's football in general. I believe football has made that hard. I believe football has made that distinction. Well, you're a head coach, or you're a manager, but you're a coach.
Mm.
And I believe did you know, years and years ago, there was manager and coaches.
Yeah.
And I think it's two different things, mate. I really, really do. Yeah. I think it's very difficult. I mean, listen, you're going to get your exceptions like your Peps and your so on and so on. But I do believe it's two different things, and I believe I'm a manager. Uh-huh. I think that's my strongest. I think that's my strength. I think that's what I'd want to do. It's what I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, once again, I'm not going to say that I don't believe in myself. I do believe in myself. I do believe that I'm going to be a good manager. I believe that I'm good with people. I believe that I'm good managing clubs. Yeah. Rather than just people and players. I believe I know and I've got a vision of how to manage football clubs and you know, and that's my passion, and that's what I put everything into at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So Radcliffe are currently in Division 1 West in the Northern Premier League, so in the 8th tier of football. Made a very good start to the in terms of the league form, won 4 games so far, and it's top of the league, so things have gone well there.
Yeah, we've had a great start. It's a start. That's the main thing. That's the main point to say straight away. It's a start. Mm-hmm. And listen, like I said, I'm just driving them forward. I'm just trying to improve every one of us, every week, every day. The players have got to adjust. The club has got to adjust. And, you know, like I said, it was a difficult scenario when I first went in there, because I've got to... You go in and you see a club who's at the bottom of the league and has been at the bottom of the league for a couple of seasons. So you've got to try to readjust everything. You've got to try and readjust the thought process, the thinking of the club, the thinking of the supporters of we'll get one win and lose two, you know, three wins and then lose 6 or 7. It's a thought process. It's a mentality. It's changing the mentality of a whole football club and the philosophy of the football club, so to speak.
So Mick, you said earlier in the interview when you were talking about your playing career about making a difference. Do you think that's something that stuck with you as a manager? You know, working with the players, you want to make a difference to them.
Yeah, definitely. As you know, I want to make a difference to them, but I want to make them believe that they can make a difference as well.
Yeah.
Because football players and attitude and so-called, I suppose, belief and doubt is you know, it's all, I'm a big believer in, you know, mind over matter. It's all in your head. You know, you can go and achieve anything you set out to do. And like I said, you know, I believe they could go and be something and do something. So I try and push that on my players. I try to enforce once again, not so as much as individuality as in team. Mm-hmm. Team first. You know, there's going to be a lot of individuals in the team, but if we can work as a team and we can, you know, play as a team and we can grow as a team, we're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. Because the individuals within that team are going to, being part of that is going to make them even better.
Yeah, of course. Looking at your team, you in terms of the coaching staff, Frank Sinclair, you've employed. He's well known for his time at Chelsea. He's also got a decent record. He's managed at a few non-league clubs and also worked at Stoke under 23s. What's he like to work with?
Yeah, fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Like I said, you know, I've got Frank Sinclair. I've got Steve Atkinson, who I brought in. I was actually older with Steve. I was doing the under-15s, he was doing the under-13s, I think, at the time, and, you know, he's a fantastic coach. And I watched him very carefully. He actually got the first young lad in there to get represented for England schoolboys as well, which, you know, you look at that and you look at the way he coaches and the way he does things, and you think to yourself, yeah, you know, we can work together, we can really go and, you know, achieve something, and or hopefully achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, brought in with that. And like I said, Frank, I brought Frank in because of his non-league background, because of what, you know, obviously what he's seen, he knows, he's got a lot of understanding of these leagues, And you know, just his attitude, you know, his attitude towards his coaching, his belief in what he wants and what we want. You know, we're very similar in the way we want our teams to play, the way we want to go forward in our careers, as in, you know, a management team, coaching team. You know, we're very similar, and you know, he's been fantastic. You know, his advice, his guidance at times, you know, it's been really, really good. He's been, like I say, with a team.
Yeah.
We build a team. It's not just a team on the pitch as well, you know, he's off the pitch as well. Where it might be non-league, it might be, well, semi-professional, but, you know, we work day in, day out, speaking on the phone and thinking about games and planning how we're going to attack the next team, you know, on a Saturday or a Tuesday evening. So we're constant.
Yeah. No, I did wonder about Frank, because I know he played for Colwyn Bay in the Conference North for quite a while. So I wondered if that had influenced, you know, if that had, you know, made him more.
He's been fantastic. As I say, Frank's been fantastic. He's, like I say, his advice, his guidance at times, his understanding of the game, is you know, the way he is, his enthusiasm, the way he drives people forward as well. Is he, you know, it's like I say, it's infectious, and that's what I want to build. I want to build a team that's infectious and wants to drive people forward and wants to go and achieve things and be successful.
And going into this season, was the target for the team to get promoted, or?
Well, I think that's not the target for any football manager and team and so on, then they should be doing the job, in my opinion. You know, at the end of the day, your target should always be to be successful.
Yeah.
And be successful is to try and get promotion or try and get as high as you can and try and be better than you was last season. I mean, I did an interview today and somebody asked me about Pep at City. You know, what did he think the target size? Is he going to be Champions League? And my answer was, well, you know, why would it just be Champions League? He's got to be better than last year, but him as a manager and them as a football club should want to go and win every single game they play and win everything. And I'm sure they do that. And I'm sure that's their target, you know. And like every manager and every player and every coach, I suppose you set your targets, but, you know, why set targets? Targets are there to be broken. Go and break them.
Yeah.
Go and believe in yourselves. Go and don't drive yourselves forward. Go and, you know, go and prove people wrong. And that's what I'm all about as a manager. You know, I want to go and prove people wrong.
Yeah. You played in the FA Cup in a qualifying round against Prestwich Hayes recently, which was live on the BBC, on the website. That must have been a big thing for some of the players, I imagine.
Massive. I mean, at the end of the day, like I say, the FA Cup, I can keep telling them, what the FA Cup is a fantastic competition. It's a fairy tale competition. You never know where you can get and what you can achieve, you know. And me, like you just mentioned before, you know, I had the Tottenham game. Frank's won the competition with Chelsea, and it's a competition, greatest competition in the world. So let's go and achieve something. Let's go and try and better ourselves. Mm-hmm. And bettering yourselves is going to the next round, and then the next round, and then the next round.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, there's going to become a time when you're not good enough. Well, then if you're not good enough, if you give your best, and you give 100%, and you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I did everything I possibly could today, and I wasn't good enough, then you walk away, and you say, We did what we could. Mm-hmm. But until that time arises, we're going to keep pushing and we're going to keep driving each other forward.
And you've got an upcoming tie against Staley Bridge. You must be looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to every game. Like I keep saying and I keep enforcing to the lads and the club, let's look forward to every game. Mm-hmm. Let's not be worried about anybody and anything or any scenario, whether it be the weather, whether it be the team that we're facing, whether it be the competition, whether it be a referee, let's just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
let's just keep going and keep pushing ourselves and driving ourselves forward and see where we get.
Yeah.
And see where we get the next week. And keep going and keep going and keep going. And if we do that, then I'm sure we'll get the rewards.
Yeah.
But we've got to keep believing.
And I saw you were at the Radcliffe the youth game yesterday, I believe it was, playing Stockport.
I know.
I know they lost the game, but was it a good performance from your side, youth side?
It was good. Yeah, they did very, very well. Like I said, as a club and as a person myself, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build a football club. I'm trying to build everything from top to bottom and make it better. Through last year, I want to make it better this year, and then the year after, the year after, and that improve that means everything from the youth, from the juniors, which we've just tied up with Redcliffe Juniors. We just tied up with them, so they're part of the football club now. From them all the way to the first team, and if I can keep doing that, and we can keep doing that as a club, we're going to get better and we're going to improve. And really, that's what managing and that's what being a football club is all about, improving and getting better year in, year out.
Okay, well, best of luck with Radcliffe. I hope everything goes well. I hope you get promoted this season. And also, do appreciate your time in coming on the show. I've really enjoyed having you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.